never thought my life could be anything but catastrophe. But suddenly I begin to see a bit of good luck for me. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket, I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. I never had a chance to shine, never a happy song to sing, but suddenly half the world is mine. What an amazing thing, 'cause I've got a golden ticket.
It's ours, Charlie.
I've got a golden sun up in the sky.
Slippers, Charlie.
I never thought I'd see the day when I would face the world and say good morning. Look at the sun. I never thought that I would be slapping the lap of luxury, 'cause I'd have said
it couldn't be done.
But it can be done.
Ooh, the cane, Charlie. Here I go. Watch my speed.
I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden day. I'd have said it couldn't be done, but it can be done. I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden.
And good evening to all of you out there in Wonka Land on this wild and wacky Wednesday. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And surprise, surprise, well, heck, that's a hint about our theme this evening. I walked into the station this evening to find my good friends here to do this wonderful show with me. I am your regular host, Liesl, but this evening I have with me the beautiful and talented
Kamala Pearl. You're making me laugh.
I always do that to you. And I also have with me the wildly famous and maybe infamous
Oliver Mays.
That's right.
Oliver Mays.
And we do have a really fun and kind of unusual theme for you this evening. As I said, surprise, surprise, that's my Gomer Pyle voice. I was looking at the books that I'd gathered from the Butte County Library, my friend Cheryl, who's a librarian there, recommended, and I found that there was a theme with these, and that is things that are not as they seem. So, Ms. Kamala Pearl, would you like to get us started with your book?
Yes, of course. So I'm going to be reading Nibble's Garden, Another Green Tale by Charlotte Middleton. And it's about a couple little hamsters that have guinea pigs that have a garden. So I'm going to go ahead and start. If there was one thing Nibbles loved almost as much as playing soccer, it was gardening. Nibbles' dandelions were the tastiest in the whole of Danville. They had even won prizes. But growing prize-winning plants was too much work for one guinea pig. So Nibbles was very happy when he met his new neighbor, Posy. Nibbles and Posies worked in the garden together. They also played soccer and went on picnics. Soon, they became best friends, like Miss Jones and I. One day, Nibbles heard a strange sound coming from his dandelions. Crunch, munch, crunch, munch. Six very hairy caterpillars were eating his prized plants. Nibbles didn't know what to do. He couldn't let them munch his dandelions. Then Posy had a great idea to keep the caterpillars as pets. Nibbles and Posy wrote a list of all the things they might need to look after their caterpillars. And on the list included little woolly socks, glasses of milk and jelly beans, ping pong balls for playing soccer, small hairbrushes. And they took it to Mr. Rossetti in the cafe. He knew everything about everything. Mr. Rossetti looked at the list and made a few suggestions. Cross out the little woolly socks, but get clean jars. You don't need glasses of milk and jelly beans, but juicy leaves for munching. They probably won't play with the ping pong balls, but they might climb on twigs. And you're probably not going to brush them with the small hair brushes, so get them lids with holes for plenty of fresh air. He even had some clean jars to give to Nibbles and Posy. He told them how to look after their new pets, and so they'd know exactly what to do. Nibbles and Posy loved their new pets. They were the happiest caterpillars in Danville. And the jars have little cloth on them with string. And the caterpillars look very happy inside. Crunch, munch, crunch. They got bigger and bigger and bigger. But then they were gone. Not a single wiggling caterpillar to be seen. Not a single munching sound to be heard. It was quite a mystery. Nibbles and Posy were determined to solve the mystery of their missing pets. They made some posters. Lost caterpillars. Have you seen them? And put them up all over Danville. Posy and Nibbles were worried. Nobody had seen their caterpillars. Then an email from Mr. Rossetti popped up in Nibbles' inbox. From Mr. Rossetti to Nibbles. Subject: lost caterpillars. Please bring your jars to the cafe, is all the email said. Mr. Rossetti examined the jars. Very carefully, he lifted off the lids, and out of the jars flew six beautiful butterflies. You see, said Mr. Rossetti, when you lose a caterpillar, you find a butterfly. The mystery was solved. Nibbles and Posy made some new posters so that the guinea pigs of Danville would know what had happened to the caterpillars, because only guinea pigs live in Danville. The posters that Nibbles and Posy's made were so nice, they were hung in the Danville Art Gallery for everyone to see. And they're having a little cocktail party. And that is the end of Nibbles Garden, Another Green Tail.
Oh, thank you so much, Miss Pearl. You did a beautiful job with that. And I love how Nibbles and Posy learned that things are not always what they seem. And sometimes life can bring you a beautiful surprise. Thank you. And we're going to continue with our wild and wacky Wonka theme this evening on this Wednesday. Oliver,
yes,
what you got?
I got Shark Detective by Jessica Olean.
Oh, so you just told us one name, so that means that she is both the author and the illustrator.
Yes, that's true.
Wow, you know, and that's also a theme this evening, because each one of our books has just one single author who's also the illustrator. How cool is that?
Yeah. Okay. Shark lived alone in a hotel room in the city. He loved watching detective shows and eating potato chips, sometimes too many. At night, Shark would dream he was a detective. But in the morning, he was still just a lonely shark. Then, one day, Shark saw a poster, and he knew what he had to do. He would become... And the poster read, "Missing Kitty." He would become Shark Detective. To solve the mystery, Shark would have to learn to look like a kitty, sniff like a kitty, think like a kitty. He went to the library to research. He centered himself by doing Tai Chi. Shark began his investigation by looking for witnesses.
"Excuse me, sir. Have you seen this kitty?"
Everywhere he went, people screamed and hid.
"Ah! Don't eat me! Shark! But I'm a vegetarian!"
Shark was beginning to think that he wasn't cut out for detective work. He was getting ready to go home and put on his pajamas when... Shark stood very still. He listened. He waited. Then he had an idea.
"Meow! Meow! Meow! Here, kitty! Kitty! Ah!"
It was the kitty from the poster.
"You're a shark!
I am not only a shark, I am also a detective!"
"A detective? That's just what I need! I've been trying to track down my mousy toy that went missing several days ago. I'll use my powerful nose to track it down! This way! I think I smell something! Over here! Found it! I am so happy! You must come over to for dinner to celebrate!"
"What's in your home?"
The cat's family was so grateful to Shark that they asked him to stay for good.
"Hey, kitty, I have an idea!"
"Let's do it!"
"Cat and Shark Detectives!"
Dun, dun, dun!
Jungle VIP. I reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I wanna be a man cub, stroll right into town, be just like the other men. I'm tired of monkeying around. Oh, Ooby-Doo, I wanna be like you. I wanna walk like you, talk like you too. You'll see it's true. Someone like me can learn to be like someone like you. Now don't try to kid me, man cub. I'll make a deal with you. What I desire is man's red fire to make my dream come true. Now give me the secret, man cub. Come on, clue me what to do. Give me the power of man's red fire so I can be like you. Oh, Ooby-Doo, I wanna be like you. I wanna walk like you, talk like you too. You'll see it's true. Someone like me can learn to be like someone like you. think it's ridiculous that me, a Gigantopithecus, would ever dream I'd like to team with the likes of you, man cub? But together we'd have powers, all the jungle's treasures ours. I got desire, you got the fire, but the dream I dream takes two. So, ooh, I wanna be like you. I wanna use that flame just the same as you can do. Oh, how magnificus it would be, a Gigantopithecus like me could learn to do like you humans do. Can learn to be like someone like you. Can learn to be like someone like me.
And, of course, that was the newly redone version of I Want to Be Like You from the newly redone version of The Jungle Book. That was Christopher Walken, the one and only, there on vocals. And that song really does continue the theme that we have already begun in the books that we've shared with you this evening. Shark Detective and Nibble's Garden, Another Green Tale. These stories of surprise and things that aren't always what they seem to be. King Louie, what is he? Is he an orangutan? I do believe so. Can orangutans behave like humans? No, they should not. They should behave like orangutans. So that is something that is a little surprising to know that he would have those aspirations. All right, we're going to continue our theme of surprise and things that are not as they seem with an amazing book that my friend Cheryl helped me find at the Butte County Library Chico Branch. This one also continuing with our theme of having a person who is both the author and the illustrator. This one's called The Obstinate Pen. And it's written and illustrated by Frank W. Dormer. Ms. Kamala Pearl, you're going to love this.
Ooh, I can't wait.
And it has really cool illustrations. So I'll be returning this tomorrow so that you can go and check out The Obstinate Pen. Uncle Flood unwrapped his new pen and laid it on the desk. It promptly stood at attention. Uncle Flood shivered with delight. I must have silence when I write, Flood yelled at his nephew. Horace left. Uncle Flood removed the cap from his pen and began to write, The following story is all true. But the pen did not write that sentence. What the pen wrote was this, You have a big nose. Uncle Flood could only stare at the paper. He wrote again, The following story is all true. The pen wrote, You have eyes as large as dinner plates. Flood's mouth dropped open. Pen, he yelled, You'd better write what I want this time or I will throw you out the window. The following story is all true, he wrote. The pen wrote, Your hair is like a bird's nest. Wah! He threw the pen out the window and it landed in Officer Wonkle's ear. Eek! Said Officer Wonkle. Is something wrong? Asked a woman. Just a pen, Officer Wonkle said. Just what I needed. He began to write the woman a ticket. Name, Miss Glinda Weeble. But the pen did not write that sentence. What the pen wrote was this, Kiss that girl. Officer Wonkle's face turned red. He started another ticket. Name, Miss Glinda Weeble. The pen wrote, Kiss her, banana head. Oh, are you all right? Asked Mrs. Weeble. She thought the officer was very handsome. I'm sorry, ma'am, it's this pen. He scratched out the last line and he tried again. Name, Miss Glinda Weeble. The pen wrote, If you don't kiss her, you are a yam-headed organ grinder. Officer Wonkle made up his mind. He threw the pen away and pressed a kiss on Miss Weeble's cheek. The pen landed in the street. It stuck to the wheel of Ms. Norcombe Pigeon Smythe's automobile. The pin made an awful tick, tick sound until Ms. Pigeon Smythe's driver, Druthers, stopped and pulled it out. "It's a pin," said Druthers. He handed it to Ms. Norcombe Pigeon Smythe. "Oh, what a sturdy little pin," she said. "Druthers, fetch me a bit of stationery. I must use this pin to write my memoir." Soon, Mrs. Pigeon Smythe sat down to write her memoir. She wrote, "I, Mrs. Norcombe Pigeon Smythe, related to the great king of Farflungdom, have lived a very lush life." The pin wrote, "Mrs. Floofy Pants has a spoon up her nose." Mrs. Pigeon Smythe burst out laughing. "Oh, dear, what a precocious pin. I must tell everyone about it." She began writing again, and the pin wrote, "Your hands have warts." She laughed even louder. Mrs. Norcombe Pigeon Smythe ordered a large dinner party and invited every one of her friends to try the pin. It insulted a duke, three duchesses, and the maid with comments like, "Don't faint, but you're ugly. You have fingers in your hair. Your nose is huge, and this food tastes like paper, and your hair is a rat's nest." After the large dinner party, Mrs. Pigeon Smythe placed the pin under a glass in a room in her house that no one visited. So the pin did what any prisoner would do. It broke out. It landed on the ground and stood straight up, where it was picked up by Horace. He looked at its shiny, smooth barrel. He admired its pointy, flexy tip. Horace walked to the park. He sat down. He pulled out a sheet of paper and began to draw, and the pen let him. Oh, my goodness. And this book was dedicated to the one and only Seuss. You know who you are. Also, someone who liked that theme of things that are not as they always seem. All right, we're going to try to squeeze in one very quick book here, also about things that are not as they seem. This is just the most kismet of themes this evening. Ms. Kamala Pearl, what do you have there for us?
I have Quetzal, the Cat Who Composed by Leslie Newman and illustrated by Amy June Bates. So it looks like the cat is going to be playing the piano. Moshe Kotel lived in the middle of a noisy building in the middle of a noisy street in the middle of a noisy city. But Moshe didn't mind. Everything he heard was music to his ears. Moshe was a composer. Every morning he composed himself by sitting very still. He listened outside himself and listened inside himself, just as his teacher had taught him when he was a little boy. When he was done listening, Moshe turned all the wonderful sounds he heard into beautiful music. When Moshe was finished working for the day, he went out for an afternoon walk to listen to the sounds of the city. One particular day, he turned a corner and heard a sound he had never heard on the street before. It was a small sound. It was a sad sound. It was Little Quetzal, Moshe cried. He often used Yiddish words when he was nervous or excited. "Come, Little Quetzal," he said, scooping up the black and white kitten. "I will take you home, and we will make beautiful music together." The kitten is little tiny. The next morning, Moshe moved a stack of music books off the top of the piano and set Quetzal down. "You must listen outside yourself and inside yourself, he instructed as he began to play. Quetzal kept very still. The music started off softly and slowly, but then it grew louder and faster, reminding Quetzal of crowds of people rushing by her, almost trampling her, and she meowed in fright. Moshi stopped playing, picked up little Quetzal, and looked into her big green eyes. Oh, Quetzal, I see that music stirs your soul, he said, and that is a wonderful thing. One day, a letter from Moshi arrived in the mail. The Paris New Music Review is having a contest. Moshi read aloud to Quetzal. Each composition must be no longer than 60 seconds. Moshi blinked in disbelief. 60 seconds? Impossible! How can anyone create a beautiful composition in only 60 seconds? He asked Quetzal and put the letter aside. The next day, when Moshi sat down to play, his fingers fumbled over the keys. He kept glancing at the letter from the Paris New Music Review. Finally, he decided to give it a try. He wrote a few notes, and then a few more, and then a few more. Before he knew it, his composition was 10 minutes long. Impossible, Moshi said. Time passed, and Moshi grew more and more unhappy. One day, he did not even come to the piano at all. Quetzal stared at him as he stared out the window. Quetzal, the little kitten, didn't know if he was listening outside himself or listening inside himself. Perhaps he was not listening at all. Moshi looked at the letter announcing the contest again, and Quetzal looked at it too. She knew it was the source of all Moshi's unhappiness. Maybe if she got rid of it, Moshi would be happy again. She put one six-toed paw down on the keyboard, crept across the keys, then pushed off the piano with all four paws and landed on the table where the letter lay. Moshi whipped around. Quetzal, that was magnificent, he cried. Moshi grabbed a pencil and jotted down exactly what he'd heard. He played it several times, then turned to Quetzal. Your composition has a clear beginning, middle, and end, is full of heart, and takes exactly 21 seconds to play. Quetzal, you're a genius. Moshi folded up Quetzal's composition and wrote a note to the judges. This piano solo, piece for piano four paws, was written by Quetzal Kotel. It is her first composition. She hopes you enjoy it. Then he and Quetzal walked to the corner and dropped it in the mail. Time passed, and Moshi and Quetzal forgot all about the contest. Then one day, another letter arrived. Dear Quetzal Kotel, we are sorry to inform you that your piano solo did not win first, second, or third place in our competition. However, the judges admired your creative instinct and imagination and have decided to award you a certificate of special mention. Congratulations! Quetzal! You did it, Moshi cried. He lifted Quetzal in the air, and the two composers danced a jig of joy all around the room. A few weeks later, Moshi brushed Quetzal's fur until it shone and put on his very best suit. Then they hailed a taxi and rode to the concert hall where Quetzal's piano solo was having its debut. Moshi carried Quetzal inside his jacket and sat down in the very last row. When the concert hall darkened, he placed Quetzal on his lap. The music began. 2 whole hours went by. Finally, a young girl crossed the stage. I will now play Piece for Piano, Four Paws, by Quetzal. Meow! The girl paused, then began again. I will now play Piece for Piano, Four Paws, by Quetzal. Meow! Quetzal meowed again at the sound of her name. As the audience laughed, the house manager flicked on the lights and rushed to the stage. Is there a cat in the theater? He demanded. That is not allowed. Please leave immediately.